No, but I'm just saying that the thing, some of the qualities listed above are contrary to each other. Though contrary, their existence is not impossible in Krishna because of his unrestricted powers. That's exactly what we're in the morning. Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavahitamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarikaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 23, Krishna's Personality, Text 21-242, page 10. This is illustrated in a statement from the Kurma Purana. The Lord is not gross, nor is he subtle. He is both gross and subtle. He is without color, but is blackish with red at the edges of his eyes. By his power, he possesses contrary qualities. Right? Because the point is that he being the source of everything, that means everything is in him. So if we're saying Brahman is everything, you know, and everything is Brahman, one has to actually understand what we're meaning by this. You know, so that means that there is variety. There's all these aspects that are there. And so the Lord himself being transcendental, he's unaffected by all this. But the jiva being in contaminated consciousness, he's affected. But as soon as the jiva then takes up Krishna consciousness, then he's on the same platform like the Lord, then he is unaffected. Does that make sense? Yeah. 2.1.243. One should never find any fault in the Lord, right? So it's the same philosophy that's being presented at all levels. Like the other day we were going through verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita and then putting them according to the conversations. And then you find that in each conversation they're basically discussing the same thing. But the angle will be slightly different. So one will be more on Sambandha in this aspect, another aspect, the Abhideya, the Prayojana. So that's the point, is that it's always the same thing. That's why you see no matter where you are in the scriptures and you're reading more than one, you see that they both compare. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Because there's only one topic, that's Krishna. One should never find fault in the Lord. Though the qualities are contrary, he can resolve them all completely. Footnote 4. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all contradictions can be reconciled in you. O Lord, since you are the Supreme Person, the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities, the Supreme Controller, your unlimited glories are inconceivable to the conditioned souls. Many modern theologians may argue about right and wrong without knowing what is actually right. Their arguments are always false and their judgments inconclusive because they have no authorized evidence with which to gain knowledge of you. Right? So they've only gone by pratyaksha, so they don't have any actually authorized knowledge. So they don't, what they see, they take it that that's important. Like I'm looking at the wall and that bamboo over there is important. Right? So I will consider that, you know, and that, and this is something, you know, some archaic thing where they use these, but then now they're using this, but because before it was all built out of bamboo, and so now they're still using the bamboo, but actually it's unnecessary, so the next generation will figure out, why is this bamboo here, and just deal with the wall. But they don't understand, the people are there, they made the wall, it does things, there's a garden there, so they put bamboos to put up for some other purpose. Connected with the garden, nothing to do with the wall, just the wall is easier, you can lean things on it rather than putting two bamboos, you only need one. You know? So that's the problem, because they don't have authorized knowledge, it's simply what they perceive according to their values. That's then what one's going with. So they don't have authorized knowledge. Because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusions, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Furthermore, because of polluted eagerness to arrive at the right conclusion, their theories are incapable of revealing you, because they want the right conclusion, but without Krishna. You know, it's just like the physicists. Their whole thing is to find the origin of the universe, why it's here, what's going on, but they'll never find it. Right? You know, especially if you're starting with two protozoa or one protozoa. I think that's it. Their theories are incapable of revealing you, who are transcendental to their material conceptions. You are one without a second, and therefore in you, contradictions like doing and not doing, happiness and distress, are not contradictory. Your potency is so great that it can do and undo anything as you like. With the help of that potency, what is impossible for you? Since there is no duality in your constitutional position, you can do everything by the influence of your energy. Right, so there's no contradiction between him and his energies. So therefore, because of that oneness, he can do anything he wants with his energies. Right? If there's a difference, like with us, we can't say that we can do anything we want with the energies around us. We can do what we're allowed to do with the energies. Right? But Krishna, because the energies are coming from him, therefore, he can do what he likes. Right? That's how it works. So it's interesting how notice here it said modern theologians. Right? And this is in, what is this, 6th Canto, 6.9.36. So I'm not sure what the conversation is. So who's talking here?
I think the demigods are praying to the...
So the demigods are saying. So then, you know. So in other words, modern simply means by Manu, what's not Vedic.
Yes.
You know, or according to Vedic conclusion. That's modern. So technically, if you want to put it in its broadest sense, it means anything that's not Vaishnav is modern. Right? Then you want to narrow it a little bit, then whatever is within the Vedic, that's Vedic, and what's not Vedic, that's modern. Right? But that also includes the aboriginals and everything else like that. So the modern scholars want to, you know, they'll say, you know, what knowledge we're working with today. You know, but the problem is they say, no, it's what's up to date. But then are they not using Newton? Are they not using Pythagoras? You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, how archaic is Pythagoras? You know, it's like it goes back so many thousands of years. Come on, move on. You know? You know, so like that. So they just to define themselves, then they'll come up with this. So we take it that modern means, you know, what's going on today. Mm-hmm. But actually, modern just means it's not according to the Vedic conclusions. That's modern. You know? Most specifically, not in conclusion of, I mean, it's not connected with the Veda. But at the same time, as we've seen they're talking here, as they're talking about the scriptures, that can mean any kind of scripture, but it can also mean even the Vedic scriptures. So like Shankara and all that, they're modern. Like that, because the Vedic conclusions, that's eternal. So modern means that which is not eternal. You know, some of them. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. There's a nice statement in the Korma Purana about these contradictory traits of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated there that the Supreme Person is neither very fat nor very thin. He is always transcendental to material qualities, and yet his bodily luster is blackish. His eyes are reddish. He is all-powerful, and he is equipped with all different kinds of opulences. Contradictory traits in Krishna's person are not at all surprising. One should not consider the characteristics of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be actually contradictory. One should try to understand the traits of Krishna from authorities and try to understand how these characteristics are employed by the supreme will of the Lord. Footnote 5. The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. Isha Upanishad Mantra 4. So for the Lord, this creates a certain flavor, a certain aspect is there. So that's the point. If you're creating, if we're talking about rasa, right, that's the whole point about that taste that's going to be there. Then that can have a variety of taste to it as long as they all are blended together perfectly. Right? It means you'll say something's contradictory if they're not balanced. But if they're balanced, then it's not a problem. Does that make sense? So if I take, you know, one spoon of sugar and one spoon of salt and put it together, it'll be contradictory. But if I put a bunch of sugar and a touch of salt, or the touch of salt and a touch of sugar, it'll work. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the point, is it's the balance, because it gives that taste. So since we're dealing with rasa, that's why everything's going on. It's the personal. That's the concrete. And all these other things, the contradictory elements, those are abstract. But when you put them together properly, then they give taste. So that's the thing. Krishna, how he puts them together, that's perfect. Others put it together, it's according to the modes. Someone will like it, someone won't. You know? What was that? There's this, I don't know, remember as a kid, I don't know if it's still around. Just the advertisement was, nothing tastes like, it was a drink. Ever heard of this?
No.
It's a, you know, like you have these how you say? We call it soda pops?
Yeah.
Fizzy drinks. Depending on where you are, they have different names. Even in America, there's like two or three different names.
Soda
pop. Yeah. Or pop, jiffy pop. Yes. So, it's based on grapefruit flavor. It's a soft drink made with grapefruit. And I can't remember what it is. They got, you know, it's that their ad is, nothing tastes like this, which is literally it doesn't. So it's one of those drinks, you like it or you don't.
Is it
Mihai? Huh?
Is it
Mihai? No. Some other more. So that, you know, so in the material world, you get so many varieties of flavor like that to make it work. You know, so it's just
fresca.
Huh?
Fresca.
Yes, fresca. Never heard of fresca?
Yeah, I heard.
Huh?
I heard.
You heard?
Yeah.
Never tasted
no.
it? Nope. He's not so sure. Nothing tastes like this. I don't know.
Oh, that's what the Buddhists taste then, because nothing tastes like fresca.
Yes. Okay, so that's the taste of nirvana. Okay. Fresca, the taste of nirvana. Okay, yeah, that can work. Still in the footnote. Oh, it keeps going. Oh, I thought it was a separate footnote. Okay, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, the fact is that there is nothing but God within and without. Everything is a manifestation of his different energies, like the heat and light emanating from a fire. And in this way, there is a oneness among his diverse energies. Although there is oneness, however, the Lord in his personal form still enjoys unlimitedly all the pleasures enjoyed minutely by the tiny part and parcel living entities. Like, so he is separate as a person. Like, just because it's one doesn't mean that that you don't have the individuality. That's the whole point, is you have to look at it from this side. But looking at it from this side means it can only be approached through bhakti. Because if you don't use bhakti, you will always get that side. You know? Does that make sense? So you'll always get the impersonal understanding. That's default setting for the material world. Okay. 2.1.244.245. This is confirmed in the Mahavaraha Purana. All of the bodies of the Lord are eternal and appear repeatedly in the material world. They are devoid of decrease and increase. They are never born of matter. All the bodies have the very nature of the highest bliss, are pure knowledge, are full of all good qualities, and are devoid of all faults. Jiva Goswami, Shashvata, eternal, here means that they continually appear in the material world. quote, being endowed with all qualities, end quote, means that as required, the forms manifest the qualities, not that all avatars manifest all qualities, right? Because we were discussing before about most perfect, perfect, and more perfect, right? So you have three levels like that. So the most perfect means in Braj, all qualities are manifest, but in what combination, at what times, but the point is all qualities are available, right? But then when you go to very perfect, then you'll have a lot of qualities, but you're not going to have all the qualities. And then when you have perfect, there'll be some specific qualities that are manifest. You know, like Nrisingadev, known for his anger, you know, and protecting the devotees, like this. So those are the qualities that will be there. You know, like Kurma or Varaha, they'll have specific qualities, like that. So that's how you see is that they're all perfect, but then you'll have more perfect when there's more qualities being, and most perfect when all the qualities are used. Krishna is the complete manifestation. This is understood from Ete Chamsha Kalapumsha 2.1.246. It is also confirmed in a Vaishnav Tantra. The form of the Lord is without the 18 great faults, is endowed with all powers, and is the very essence, sorup of existence, knowledge, and bliss. So his form, existence, knowledge, and bliss, which covers everything, that is his form. And then from his energies expand unlimitedly. You don't give a list of the 18 faults?
Next
verse. Okay, it's coming up. Just in case you were wondering. Yeah, no, the 18 faults, right. 2.1, 2.47, 2.48. The 18 great faults are mentioned in the Vishnu Yamala. The 18 faults are bewilderment, sleep, error, material attachment without prema, material lust, which brings suffering, fickleness, intoxication, envy, violence, exhaustion, toil, lying, anger, hankering, worry, absorption in worldly affairs, prejudice, and dependency on others. Yeah, it seems to cover it all, right? I don't think anything was left out. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. In the Mahavaraha Purana, it is confirmed that the transcendental bodies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His expansions are all existing eternally. Such bodies are never material. They are completely spiritual and full of knowledge. They are reservoirs of all transcendental qualities. In the Vishnu Yamala Tantra, there is a statement that because the Personality of Godhead and His expanded bodies are always full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity, they are always free from the 18 kinds of material contaminations. Illusion, fatigue, errors, roughness, material lust, restlessness, pride, envy, violence, disgrace, exhaustion, untruth, anger, hankering, dependence, desire to lord over the universe, seeing duality and cheating. And, you know, brings it home a little bit more, right? Jiva Goswami. Okay, so that means you put all these 18 lists, and if you can put a check next to each one of them, you know you're in the material world. You know you're conditioned. Okay. And just to make sure, just to say, well, material attachment, but said no, without prema. Right. Okay, take. Okay. Jiva Goswami. However, these same bad qualities are considered good qualities in Krishna in relation to the devotee's prema. Thus, moha is illustrated as follows. Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the calves, he returned to the bank of the river. But there he was also unable to see the cowherd boys. Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys, as if he could not understand what had happened. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.16. Right, because that brings out just the wonderfulness of the relationship, that he cares. You know, it's not that he goes and, oh, okay. Because otherwise, if you go according to the, you know, the French existential, you know, you go, well, it was nice, you know, and then walk off. Right? That would be it. But, you know, because of that relationship, therefore, then he's looking. Sleep, exhaustion, and toil. Kandra, Keda, and Parishrama are as illustrated as follows. Sometimes Lord Krishna grew tired from fighting and lay down at the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds and using the lap of a cowherd boy as his pillow. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:15:6. Right, so then interacting with the boys, because the boys, they always have to run around and everything like that. You know, it's like they can't just sit there, you know. Like you have a friend come over and they sit there, you sit there and you talk and this and that. Now and again, you know, you get up, go to the refrigerator, go to the bathroom, but otherwise you just sit there like that. You know, but the kids, you get two kids there, they just run around the whole time. They you know. Like that. So that's the thing. Krishna then interacting with the cowherd boys. Then from that, then he shows sleep, exhaustion, toil, you know, because then that just shows that they've really been putting in, it has the taste, and then, you know, it gives a different flavor, and then they can go back. Because if you're always just playing, you know, it'll lose the flavor. So you'll play, then you'll stop, and you'll play, then you'll stop. You know, you'll play, you'll eat, you know, or you go play in the water, or, you know, play, change the games, like that, yeah. It's only for increasing rasa. That's what we said. Rasa is the essential point. Krishna's rasa. So that means all the contradictions are therefore part of rasa. So if they're combined in the right way, they give taste. So with Krishna, even these 18 faults don't create a problem. But in the material world, these 18 always create a problem. Right? We may say, oh, this will be nice, but then there's always a problem after this. Yes. Oh no. Just us. I drops. Okay. Error, Brahma, is illustrated as follows. When Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled in the muddy places created in Vraja by cow dung and cow urine, their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents, and the sound of their ankle bells was very charming. Very much pleased by the sound of other people's ankle bells, they used to follow those people as if going to their mothers, but when they saw that these were other people, they became afraid and returned to their real mothers, Jashoda and Rohini. Right, so they'd be there and they'd hear, because they're down in this and they hear the sound, and so they just follow. But then, you know, if they ever come and they look up, then, oh, you know, someone else, and then they run off. Right? Yeah. 10:8:22. Attachment without prema. Rukshita rasata, however, does not exist in the spiritual realm. Right, so they have attachment, but no attachment without prema. Right? Material lust, which brings grief, ulbhana kama, does not exist, because in Krishna it takes the form of prema. Right, because that attachment that is there for when it's applied at Krishna, then it will be prema. When that same is applied for the devotees, that'll be friendship. When it's applied, you know, without those two the forms of existence there in Krishna's energy, that's called lust. Right? In other words, when it shifts from the primary to the secondary, it's called lust. When it's on the primary, it's called prema. And then the devotees are seen in the context of Krishna, so therefore then it takes on friendship. Does that make sense? So lust is just... is where it's supposed to be about Krishna, then it becomes prema. So, yes?
Question is about, like you said, that when Krishna has combination with 18 faults, it creates rasa, but if you have it in material world, it creates problem.
Yeah, it may be some rasa, but then it'll end in a problem. With Krishna, it doesn't end in a problem.
Because in modern movies and books, we see that in ancient time, usually authors, they create only a positive hero, like a superman, a hero or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But nowadays, it's a popular idea that we should create some hero who has some faults, mm-hmm. and that's why when he will win, it will be more interesting if he will be just drawn from the beginning. Maybe he's not so smart or not so strong. But
no, but that's just he overcomes the problem. So before it was the problems were outside, so he'd use his good qualities to overcome that. Now it's that he has to overcome his own problems. So it's the principle is overcoming obstacles. That's the hero-ness. But, you know, but they don't necessarily have to. Before they would win and everything would work out. Nowadays they don't. Because people are so pessimistic that, you know, they can't tolerate that anybody's having a good time, right? So, does that make sense? Yeah. fickleness, lolata, becomes a good quality, right? So in other words, they don't have they have their original position. So material lust, that is prema, right? And so attachment without prema is not there because everyone has prema. So it's attachment to Krishna, right? My dear friend Jashoda, your son sometimes comes to our houses before the milking of the cows and releases the calves. And when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter, and milk, which he then eats and drinks. When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them, and when the monkeys have their bellies so full that they won't take any more, he breaks the pots. Right, saying that it's not good. That's the point of it. Sometimes, if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house, he'll be angry at the householders, and for his revenge, he will agitate the small children by pinching them. Then, when the children begin crying, Krishna will go away. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:8:29. So that fickleness, you know, just doing this, that, you know, just... So it just absorbs, see, is that the devotees are just sitting around talking about Krishna. Because we see is that when Mother Jashoda says, "Oh, I'll punish him," no, it's okay. You know, it's just an opportunity to absorb themselves in Krishna. Because as parents, then the idea is how to raise the children nicely and everything, so they'll be good. So then these things will come up because these are not in accordance with that. But at the same time, it's within the context of the parental rasa, so it encourages the rasa then. Intoxication, mudda, is illustrated as follows. As Krishna respectfully greets his well-wishing friends, his eyes roll slightly as if from intoxication. He wears a flower garland, and the beauty of his soft cheeks is accentuated by the brilliance of his golden earrings and the whiteness of his face, which has the color of a badari berry. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35:24. Anyone know what a badari berry is? Yes.
No? I saw it.
You saw one?
Yeah, it's a light green color, I think.
Yeah. Was it right?
I mean, not very tasty.
Was it right?
Yeah, it's always like that.
It's always like that. Okay.
This you find in the forest of Badrinath. You find in the forest of Badrinath.
Oh, okay, so it's from that, so from Badari Gashram. Mm-hmm. Badari berry. Okay. Envy, Matsarja, is illustrated as follows. By my mystic power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. Demigods like Indra are proud of their opulence, and out of foolishness they falsely consider themselves the lord of the universe. I will now destroy such ignorance. But he doesn't say I'll destroy the demigod, but he'll destroy that ignorance. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:25:16. You know, so this will be the Dhirodhata aspect. There are many clear... So we'll see that these all will fall within those different categories of the personality. Like that. There are many clear examples of violence, so they are not given. Right? Because you have Bhagavad Gita, you know, the battle of Kurukshetra and killing the demons, so we don't have to explain that. What's that? You know, yeah. Lying is illustrated when Krishna and the Pandavas disguise themselves in front of Jarasandha and in other pastimes. My dear mother, I have never eaten dirt. All my friends complaining against me are liars. If you think they are being truthful, you can directly look into my mouth and examine it. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:8:35. Examples of anger, krodha, are also well known. Hankering, Akanksha, illustrated as follows. While Mother Jashoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna desired to drink the milk of her breast, or desiring to drink, appeared before her, and in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:9:4. Right, because that shows he really wants this, you know. Because and then it's connected with her, so it's a relationship. Worry, Ashanka, illustrated in the following: when Krishna was unable to find the calves and their caretakers, the cowherd boys, anywhere in the forest, he could suddenly understand that this was the work of Lord Brahma. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.17. Absorption in worldly affairs, Vishwa Brahma is shown in having the desire to maintain the universe, related to his devotees such as Brahma. Prejudice, Vishvatvam, is illustrated as follows. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to them. Right? So it shows that there is that being partial. But it's because of the interaction based on the relationship, based on rasa. Right? Dependency on others, parapeksha, is shown as follows. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cores of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. Right? So that's how our chance works out, being the devotee of the devotees.
In a material sense, what is wrong with to be dependent on somebody? Why is it fault?
Because then, does it always work out?
Not so often.
And do you suffer therefore? Mm-hmm. So is it a fault or not?
We have to be dependent on devotees.
That's there. He's connected to Krishna. This, the devotion is fine. But the point is that the dependence on others to get things done or for your, you know, gain and safety, then is always going to create problem. You know, so that's why for us is that whatever our duties are, we work within that. Mm. Does that make sense? So that's why ultimately then one moves away from working with a wide range of it. If it's service to Krishna, like let's say managing a temple or something like that, then it's not a problem. You're doing these things and that creates a problem. But you move on. But that's why you see generally householders naturally move into the vanapras. They just want to deal with less. They want to be dependent on less things, less problems. Okay. Dependent on less people. You know, so you get to the point where you'd rather have less and be independent than have more and be dependent.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so it's just the natural. But the point is, on the spiritual platform, it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. Because then that, between Krishna and the devotees and that interaction, then that's fine. Like that. So that's why we take whatever we're doing, connect that to Krishna. And then you'll get that effect. And then if that service has a value, you continue doing it. If it doesn't have a value, then that's it's given up. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, so he's saying, I sit only in the cores of their hearts, the devotees, because they think of Krishna, so Krishna sits there. Everybody else he's there is Paramatma. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Therefore it says in the Bhagavatam, how can lamentation, bewilderment, material affection, or fear, all born out of ignorance, be ascribed to the infinite Supreme Lord, whose perception, knowledge, and power are all similarly infinite? Right? Because lamentation, you know, comes from, you know, lamentation, material affection, fear, bewilderment, they all come from not actually knowing everything. You understand? You're fearful because you don't know what will happen. Material affection becomes you don't actually know who you are and who they are, and that there's lack of knowledge. Bewilderment, again, you don't, there's something you don't know. Lamentation means then something that you're lamenting about, you don't know everything about it. But Krishna, being unlimited in perception, knowledge, and power, then why would he ever be affected by these? That's why he can't be affected by ignorance, by the modes, by any, because he knows everything. He is everything. So that puts him beyond. So that's the jiva being dependent then always has these problems. When he connects to the Lord, then he's on that same transcendental platform. Then he is also unaffected because he's always seeing everything connected to Krishna. Krishna is unaffected. The devotee is unaffected. So yes.
One devotee, he mentioned that the natural progress would be dependent, independent, codependent.
Okay, and the codependency would be?
you know, between devotees, we co-depend, we depend on each other. It's not like everybody's independent in their relationship.
Oh, yes, yes.
With the Lord.
Yeah, it just means in the desire. Yeah. You're independent in desire. So when you're dependent upon others for material desire, then it's a problem. Okay, so you're taking it like that, and then you're going into devotion. Yeah, that looks quite nice. You just have to define it, otherwise they'll say, my friend and I were running a business together, so we're codependent. You know, that's not necessarily...
Codependent in our service to the Lord.
Yes, like that. Because otherwise people may try to extend the definition.
Yeah.
You know, so... yeah, that's good.
We also say that dependent spiritually, but independent materially.
Yeah, but... ultimately, no one's independent because you're always dependent on the Lord. That's fine. But when other living entities, because they're trying to be independent and get what they want, then it's not necessarily you'll get what you want. Mm-hmm. So that's why the dwijas that consider their position as independent.
Mm-hmm.
Shudra means they're dependent. So that's why it's even if one's... so nowadays it's looked at, well, if you have facility, you have money, you know, fame, these things, then it's fine. But then the problem comes is you're still dependent on others. Well, the Brahmin's independent. Kshatriya's independent. It doesn't work, they'll just start something up again. Does that make sense? For the Vaishya, it doesn't work, you can start a new business. Like that. But the Shudras, then they can't because they're not running the business. So as long as the business works and they have a job, then they're good. But if something happens, then they're... so that's why it's said Brahmins are independent. So the Vaishya can establish economics anywhere. Right? Like that. He can engage others, he can establish that. The Kshatriya can create administration or, you know, order. Like that. And the Brahmin can deal with knowledge. You know, that's why they say you can sit under a tree and run a class. The modern thing, you have to have this whole building and all this and that, then that's a problem. Because then without that, then you have to maintain that. Because like the tree, you don't have to maintain the tree. Like that, you know. Nature maintains a tree. You just have to sit under it. Does that make sense? So that's why I said, if you can do bigger things, it's nice. But that was why before it was just that anywhere. They could sit on the veranda, or they could do any, you know, just anywhere they can. So they're independent. Because otherwise it says, no, I can, you know, if you'll do this, I'll build you this whole school and all this and that, but if that means you'll be dependent, then... like one gentleman said, okay, then he'll pay for the whole Mayapur project. He told Prabhupada, you know, whatever you want to do, I'll pay for it. You just have to name it after, you know, after him.
His name was Krishna,
or no? No, there wasn't that part of it that he was naming it after. And so then Prabhupada said no. Because nowadays you say, oh wait, he's willing to, we can make some adjustments. No. Prabhupada says no, because we're independent. If he wants to do service and do that, that's nice, and do it for Krishna. But here he's just doing it because then, you know, he'll be known by it.
Yeah.
And so then Prabhupada said no. That's independent.
No, but usually when you find that when you build temples and when people give big donations, a particular pillar or a particular stone, you know, we carve their names and everything, and that is what we do.
Who's we?
The temple is Krishna.
You see anything inside our temple like that?
Yeah.
No, so that's
there
why
is,
I said,
yeah,
who's
there
we?
Is one, there is one.
Where?
Between Panchatattva and Radhaman.
The notice board opposite the pillar.
Yeah, on the
but Bhattacharya family, Maharaj. From Kolkata, they don't have any issues. Doctor, Bhattacharya family from Alipur, he gave donation for bringing the deities.
Oh, okay.
Panchatattva.
Yeah, but it's not a prominent place.
No.
It's not named after him.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's not now the whatever it is, the Bhattacharya, you know, how you say
it,
puja and stuff. Yeah. So that's the thing. It's service. And so we're just doing it to recognize.
Yeah.
But he's not making a demand. But I saw once, I think it was in Kanpur or Lucknow, went into a temple. Everything had a name on it. The fan had a name on it. Even above the toilet just said anonymous donor. Everything, literally. I was impressed. No. It was
very personal.
Yeah, very personal.
But here, the TOVP, they do the bricks. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I've seen some place, I can't remember where temples that you have someone gives, and their recognition is in the step going into the temple. They have a small, like a person carved, you know, just in slight relief, offering full dandabats. Yeah. So when you walk in, you step on them. Like that. Yeah, I mean, you only see that there. So that's all the more recognition they're looking for.
In Manor, they put it on the benches.
Hmm?
In Manor, they put it on the
benches. Okay.
It's written this one. Okay. In memory of this one.
In Cambridge, I think they put the bench for Thomas Krishnamurti.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has the bench.
He has a bench, okay. So he's made it. He's got a bench. Okay. So that means we're at the benchmark. Okay. Yes?
This person who donated actually is a lot of, means he gave for deities also for lifetime donation for like Radha Govinda, 1 crore he deposited. So whatever Lakshmi comes, it goes for the deity service. And for himself, from Kolkata to here, he used to come in local bus, the one which goes now for 180 rupees like that. So then Dayaram Prabhu told, how can you come? You are such a big person. No. For deities, I can't do anything. For myself, I'll go by bus only. So then Radharaman Prabhu got a car from temple. He donated a personal car for him so that, and when he left the body also Janivas Prabhu and Pankajani Prabhu went.
Okay.
So far from his side, there is not even, they now also they eat mota rice, and even for each penny they count. They don't want to spend anything more. They are like that. For DT, now their building is there in Alipur. They have donated whole building for ISKCON, and one flat they stay, whole building the boys stay.
Okay, nice.
Nothing for name fame.
Okay, nice.
It's very difficult to teach someone under the tree if outside the minus 30, for example. Does it mean the tree of leader can live in life and be in the without building, without pursuit?
I mean, definitely it gets less.
Pious people live only in the, where the coconuts grow, the river is there.
Yeah, something like that. Shasha's mentioned about that. You know, you choose a place where I think there's coconut trees grow and the black antelope is there. Then that's for Brahmins. Okay. The point is that these things are there, but we're doing things connected to Krishna, so then we can go anywhere. But the principle is that without any facility, you can still make things work. Like Prabhupada, it's like nowadays, let's say if we want to start some kind of preaching program, right? We need a place, we need this, we need that, so it requires money and everything. No? So Prabhupada just went and literally sat under a tree. On the sidewalk, right, in the park, and started kirtan. Nobody's there, not a sight. But by doing that, and then slowly, people come, sit down, like that, and then it becomes a happening, right? And so then it develops. They literally start the movement sitting under a tree, you know. And then from there, then they had the place 26 Second Avenue, but they still go out and do Harinam there. So that's the thing, is you can start anywhere.
In Muslim countries, it's strictly prohibited to
sit under trees.
Yes, outside. You can do it only in special places.
Yeah, so then in your backyard, you have a tree and you sit under that. Yeah. We're making just a point. It doesn't have to be a tree.
Christmas tree?
Yeah, it could be a Christmas tree. Something like that. You know, the point is independence means that you don't need much facility to actually do brahminical activities. It can always be done. And then if you have facilities, it just makes it nice. But if you don't have facilities, it still works. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one's not dependent on all kinds of things.
If we get salary, does it mean
that you should
refer
to a
professional?
If we get facility? No. When it means salary for your work?
Yes.
Means technically that's what it is. But nowadays they don't even distinguish like that. So they just put everybody on salaries. But there's supposed to be there's some distinction in how they do that. But yeah, you go, you know, 9 to 5 and like that, that's a shooter job. Does that mean like that? No, teachers, it's supposed to be done in a different way. But they don't, you know, before they would give them places, take care of things, you know, do these things for their maintenance and all that. So they maintain their independence, but they're being taken care of. But now they don't bother with all that because that's too much administration, so they just give you the money and you have to do it yourself.
It seems like in the past, the teaching occupation, it was mainly one teacher having some student around. And it was usually a small thing. No, not so much organization.
No, you can have like that. That's my point, is that from that little, you can have one teacher and a few students, and that works. Yeah. Then you can have, a line of that going on. Like that. That teacher's teaching, and then his students are teaching the same thing in their capacity, and like that. So then you have it. That's a shaka. You can also have where a group of teachers come together and run an educational institution. Does that make sense? And that's called a charana, a university. So you have these different levels of how you can do. Does that make sense? But the simplest thing is one person can sit down and teach.
Yeah.
Like that.
In Greece, they didn't even have trees. They just walking in the garden and discussing philosophy. The Plato school.
Oh, Plato. So
the walking philosophy.
Walking. Too restless to sit down.
Yeah, vata, too much vata.
Too much vata. Yeah, they couldn't sit down. They had to walk. But they had nice paths you could walk on.
Nice garden.
Yeah. Well, we do it. Like Prabhupada do the morning walk. Yeah. You know, so it's bona fide. Lamentation, bewilderment, and material affection and fear, when they originate from ignorance, are definitely not present in the Lord. However, lamentation, bewilderment, material affection, and fear, when they originate from knowledge, do exist in the Lord. These qualities originating from knowledge, such as bewilderment arising from prema for the Lord, are also present in the devotees. Quote, O Shanaka, greatest of saints and devotees, when Maharaj Parikit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami in this way, Sukadeva Goswami immediately remembered subject matters about Krishna within the core of his heart, externally lost contact with the actions of his senses. Thereafter, with great difficulty, he revived his external sensory perception and began to speak to Maharaj Parikit about Krishna Katha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:12:44. Between the seven sisters and other stuff. Can't hear anything. Okay. 2:1-2:49. Thus it has been explained that the amount of sweetness in Krishna exceeds that of all the avatars and the source of avatars, Mahavishnu, Jiva Goswami. This verse, showing the most perfect position of Krishna,
summarizes the preceding description. According to the method explained in the previous section, itam, being complete in sweetness and also in powers, Krishna is said to be superior even to Mahavishnu, avatari naha, famous as the source of all avatars. Right, so even though Mahavishnu, all avatars are coming from him, Krishna is the source of him. Right? And so therefore he's in the most perfect position. 21250. This is explained in Brahma Samhita. Mahavishnu, into whom all the innumerable universes enter and from whom they come forth again simply by his breathing process, is a plenary expansion of Krishna. Therefore, I worship Govinda, the cause of all causes. Srila Prabhupada. Regarding all of the above mentioned statements, it is understood that the Mahavishnu is the source of all incarnations in the material world. But because of his greater extraordinary opulence, we can understand that the son of Nanda Maharaj is the source of the Mahavishnu also. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, wherein it is stated, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Govinda, whose partial representation is the Mahavishnu." End quote. The Jagannath form of the Mahavishnu is the source of generation for innumerable universes. Innumerable universes are coming out of his exhaling breath, and the same universes are going back in with his inhaling breath. This Mahavishnu is also a plenary portion of a portion of Krishna. So he's not even directly from Krishna, he's a portion of the portion coming from Krishna. Jiva Goswami. This verse explains how Krishna is superior to Mahavishnu. Govinda mentioned in Brahma Samhita is Brajendra Nandana Krishna. Since the beginning verse described Vrindavan Krishna, from that his sweetness can be understood. One should not consider that Govinda mentioned here is different from the son of Nanda. Gautamiya Tantra, explaining the 8 and 18 syllable Krishna mantras, describes Govinda as follows. The master of gopis, who reached their perfection after many births, is called the son of Nanda. He increases the bliss of the three worlds. This is the meaning of Govinda after seeing many such statements. The sages have also said, Shakala Loka Mangalo Nandana Gopa Tanayo Devata. The son of the cowherd Nanda is auspicious for the whole world. Gautamiya Tantra. Chapter 14, Further Traits of Sri Krishna.
24.
What did I say?
14.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Okay. 21, 251 to 252. Excellent qualities of the heart, the embodiments of auspiciousness, are glorified as 8. Glory, playfulness, sweetness, auspiciousness, steadiness, strength, beauty, and generosity. Right, so you're seeing the qualities of the heart, so beauty is considered part of that. Does that make sense? So that's where the basis is. Srila Prabhupada. After describing the different opulences of Krishna, Srila Rupa Goswami tries to further describe the transcendental beauties and qualities of the Lord as decorated, enjoying, pleasing, dependable, steady, and predominating. He is also described as a meticulous dresser and a magnanimous personality. These are generally considered to be the qualities of great personalities. Jiva Goswami. Mangala Yan Kriya Rupaha means glorious qualities which are the very form of auspiciousness. Sattva Beda means excellent qualities of the heart. 21253. Among the ornaments of auspiciousness, where there is mercy to those who are lower, emulation of those who one regards as greater, as well as courage, enthusiasm, expertise, and truth, is known as Shobha, glory. Right, so you're kind to those who are junior, you're respectful and follow in the footsteps of those who are senior, and then you perform your activities with courage, enthusiasm, expertise, and truth. That's called glorious. Jiva Goswami. Adike here means to those whom one respects as superior. Yatra means in these ornaments of auspiciousness. Okay, so we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.